we are going to continue the series that I, excuse me, that I have been doing over the last few times I've spoken, Final Lessons from Jesus. And today will be part three. During the series, if you have been around, you know that we have been looking in the Gospel of John at the last night that Jesus would spend with his disciples before he would be betrayed, arrested, and ultimately crucified. And we have been looking at how during this last night, Jesus will spend a large amount of time instructing and teaching his disciples on what was going to come next and what it is that he was going to expect of them after he was gone. As Matthew Henry will say about this section of scripture that takes place between John 13 and John 17, Matthew Henry will say that it is as if Jesus is putting his house in order before he goes on a distant journey. And it does very much feel like that. Jesus knows that his time on this earth is short, and he spends these last few moments with his disciples instructing them and teaching them how to look after the affairs of his house when he will be gone. It will be on this last night that some of Jesus' most impactful and powerful teachings will come. And the gospel writer John, who brings them to us, he obviously thought that these teachings were so important that he would devote such a large portion of his gospel to them. At the end of the Gospel of John, in chapter 21, John will say that Jesus did so many amazing things on this earth that if all of them were written, that the whole world would not have enough room to keep the books. And that is John saying that Jesus did so many other amazing things that are not written about. And John could have chosen to spend his time in his gospel writing about any one of these miraculous things that Jesus has done. But instead, he will devote 20 to 25% of his gospel focusing on Jesus' last words and his last instructions to his disciples. So this morning, we are going to continue to look at them and to see what we can glean from them as disciples 2,000 years later. These instructions, they may have been originally meant for the 11 who were with him on that final night. Judas has already betrayed him. He's probably already gone from the group, but these lessons may have been written for the 11 that were there who would carry on his mission. You know, the mission that is right on the wall right behind me to go and make disciples. But if we are also disciples of Christ and this is our mission as well, then we can learn from these final words of Jesus. So with that being said, we are going to dive right into our text this morning, and it will be John 15, and we are going to start in verse 1. John 15, 1, and it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And for the sake of our time together this morning, we are going to stop there. In the short passage that we just read, Jesus will again, much like in the previous two chapters, lay out a very important aspect of what it means to be a follower of Christ. And it is something that I've never really caught before preparing this series, that if you look at John 13 through 17, it really is as if Jesus is giving his disciples a final crash course in what it means to be a follower of Christ. And it starts in chapter 13, which if you were with us a few weeks ago, we looked at, and it starts with Jesus washing his disciples' feet, where he tells them, hey guys, only I can wash you clean. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And he tells them that he came to this earth to serve, and therefore his disciples were also meant to be people who served. He continues in John 14, where he tells them that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. He tells them that he goes to prepare a place for them. He tells them, reiterating that he is the only way to God, and he tells them that if they love him, then they will obey his commands, that they themselves should love others as he has loved them. He will tell them that they should do the works that he has done, and that they themselves will do even greater things than that. He encourages them that he won't leave them alone, but that he will send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Advocate, who will guide them and teach them and who will be with them forever. And it really is a crash course in what it looks like to be a follower of Christ. And I've never really caught that before. But here in John 15, Jesus will give them yet another lesson in discipleship. And it is the simple truth that a disciple of Christ, a true disciple of Christ, will, in Jesus' words, be someone whose life will bear fruit. That is what these first 18 verses of John 15 are about. Jesus emphasizing to his disciples, hey, you guys need to be people that bear fruit in your lives, that your lives should reflect what it is that you say you believe. And obviously, Jesus here isn't talking about a literal fruit. He's not expecting them to become, apple orchards or to plant grapes or whatever. He is simply using a term and an analogy that the disciples would have been very familiar with, since all throughout Israel there were olive trees and fig trees and grapevines. So he was using an analogy of something that they would see in their everyday life, and to bring the point home to them that they themselves, their lives should bear fruit, like the olive tree, like the grapevine. And what are the fruits that they should bear? And again, I think that Matthew Henry will say it great when he will say in his commentary over this section that we must be fruitful. From a vine, we look for grapes. And from a Christian, we should look for Christianity. This is the fruit, a Christian temper and disposition, a Christian life and conversation, Christian devotions and Christian designs. We must honor God and do good and exemplify the purity and power of the religion we profess. And this is bearing fruit. In John 15, 1 through 8, Jesus wants his disciples to know that if you are a true disciple of me, then you will produce fruit in your life and that you will look like you belong to me. You will look like a Christ follower. And to do this, he will also use an illustration of a vine and branches. You know what the awesome thing about Jesus is? And the thing that I love most about this passage is that Jesus, he doesn't just leave his disciples hanging to figure all this out on their own after he is gone. He will not say, hey, after I'm gone, you need to bear fruit. You need to be fruitful. You need to look like a follower of me. And then say, hey, peace out. You're on your own. No, he will tell them how to accomplish this. And he will tell them that to accomplish this, to be fruitful, that they need to remain and abide in Christ, that they need to stay connected to the true vine of Christ. In verse 1, Jesus will say, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And in verse 4 through 8, he will say, remain in me, and I will remain in you. He will say, if you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And he will say, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. Jesus is the true vine and the disciples are the branches. And the disciples should remain in the true vine. Branches get all their nutrients from the vine. And if they are not connected to the vine, then they will not produce fruit. And likewise, if they are connected to the vine, then they will produce fruit. Jesus says that the disciple cannot bear fruit unless the disciple remains in him, abides in him, and stays connected to him. And Jesus says that apart from him, the disciple can do nothing. And that apart from him, the branch will wither and it will die. And it's not hard for us to imagine this picture that Jesus is painting. We have probably all seen it in our life. I mean, just think about it. You go and you buy flowers on Valentine's Day for your significant other, And these flowers, they look beautiful at first, beautiful set of roses. And then what happens over the course of a few days, they slowly start to die because they are cut off from the roots. They are cut off from the vine. And I will ask you this morning, are you connected to the vine? Do you remain and abide in him? And you might ask, how do I know if I do that? Well, you will know by the fruit in your life. Is your life fruitful? Do you exhibit the fruits of the Spirit in your life? Love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Like Matthew Henry says, does your life look like a Christian life? Or is Christianity just something that you do on Sundays? In reality, it should impact and mold every aspect of our life. And Jesus is clear here that apart from him, the disciple can do nothing. And these words should give us a great joy and a great peace in knowing that Jesus, he really makes it easy for us. He does. He says, hey, you want to be fruitful? You're called to be fruitful as my disciples? How do you do that? You stay connected to the true vine. You remain in him. You abide in him. And if you do that, you will bear much fruit. That is a promise. You know, he says that if you do this, then this will happen. And that should give us a great peace, and it should give us a great joy in knowing that it really is that simple. Do you remain in him? Are you connected to the true vine? Notice the warning that Jesus gives to those who are not. He says in verse 2 that to anyone who does not produce fruit in their lives, that he being God, the gardener, cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. If the branch does not bear fruit, and the disciple is the branch, the gardener will cut them off. And that may seem kind of harsh, but God is a good gardener, and he takes care of his vineyard. I don't think many gardeners or vineyard keepers would hesitate to cut off a branch that is not being productive, because that is ultimately their purpose, to produce fruit. And as the disciple, that is our purpose as well, to produce fruit that will bring glory and honor to our Father, to the gardener. In verse 8, Jesus will say that this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And if we do not bear fruit, then we will be cut off. And it is my prayer that that would not be any of us here today. But a true disciple of Jesus will produce fruit in their lives, period. That's the end of it. That's what it says here in the scriptures. So do you produce fruit in your life? Do you feel like you are someone who's maybe been slowly withering away because you haven't really been connected to the vine? And the amazing thing is, if that is you, we can easily be reconnected to him. I love that. And that, so that if you feel like you're withering away, you can just reconnect yourself to the vine. It's so simple. We don't have to do anything to make it happen. We just have to say, God, I feel like I've stepped away from you, like I've been apart from you, like I'm withering away, but Lord, help me to reconnect to you. And guess what? God is there to help us connect to him. I know in my own life, there has been many times where I have felt connected to God, where I am spending a lot of time in his presence, where I'm resting in his grace, where I'm diving into the word. And in those times, I am much more fruitful in my daily actions and in my life. And I am much more likely to produce the fruits of the Spirit. But on the flip side of that, there has also been times in my life where I have felt distant from God. And if I'm not spending as much time with him, if I'm busy or I'm getting distracted, I can feel myself slowly becoming a branch that withers away. And that is a place that none of us should want to be. And the thing about it is, it really is a slow fade. You know, it reminds me of that song by Casting Crowns that talks about how it's just, you just slowly start to drift away from God. And while that song at the heart may be talking about the dangers of sin in our life, I think it is also true that it is a slow fade when we start to drift away from the Lord. Maybe one day we don't read our Bible as much, and then we read it less and less and less, and then one day we're just not reading it at all. Maybe one day we skip church, And then we say, hey, you know what? It was kind of nice getting to sleep in on Sundays. And then pretty soon we're going three times a week or three times a month, twice a month, once a month, and we're not going at all. We're not connecting to the vine. The disciple is meant to bear fruit, meaning your life should reflect what it is you say you believe. And when we are connected to the vine, the true life-giving vine, the fruit will come naturally for us. One thing I love is that the connection to the vine comes first. Don't miss that. You must be connected to the vine before your fruit can grow, before the fruit in your life can grow. And when we truly are connected, that fruit will grow naturally. Jesus himself says it, if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Do you bear much fruit? It is no secret that the world has changed drastically in the last couple of months. And if there is one thing that this quarantine and this coronavirus has shown me, it is the man in the mirror. When everything I was doing for God was taken away, and I mean that here at the church, when I wasn't able to come to youth, wasn't able to come to church on Sundays, when all the things that I was doing in my life for God was taken away, and all I was left with was facing myself in the mirror and facing what my own relationship with God was like, I gotta be honest, I looked at myself and I did an introspective look and thought to myself, I don't feel like I'm bearing much fruit. And while my life may look like it, I don't feel like I am always staying connected to the vine. And I know that my life may have looked like I was. I was doing a lot of things, but I don't think I really was. And the truth is, I get so wrapped in what I'm doing for God that I often forget the most important thing in my life is that I need to stay connected to God. And if this coronavirus has taught me anything, it is just how important it is that I stay connected to God. And that may seem like a duh thing. Of course we need to stay connected to God. But for those who have been in ministry, you know just how easy it is to blur the line sometimes between treating what we do for God as if that is our relationship with God. And we may think that we are being fruitful, and maybe we are in a little way. But if we neglect the number one thing, which is our relationship with God, fruitfulness, our fruitfulness, will eventually wither away. And I don't want to have that happen in my own life, and I don't want that to happen in any of your lives. And one thing that I've started doing, and I'm actually going to start again tomorrow on June 1st, is reading through the Gospels every month. And I'm going to do it for the remainder of the year. It only comes out to about 3 chapters a day. But the reason I want to do that is because it will help me, and it does help me, stay connected to the true life-giving vine of Jesus Christ. And I think that by connecting specifically to his life and his words every day for the next 6 months, it will help me in my life to stay connected to the vine. And I encourage you, if you want to join me on this journey, please do. If you have trouble connecting to the vine, join me on this gospel journey. It's 3 chapters a day. You can read it, listen to it. I don't care. Just get into the word every day. And for all of us, we must find what it is that helps us to connect to that life-giving vine. I believe that the Bible is a huge one. I believe that is the number one thing. I don't ever want to hear a Christian say that I'm just not a Bible person. Show me a Christian who does not read the Bible, and I will show you someone who is not a Christian. And that is not meant to sound legalistic. I'm not trying to sound, legalistic here. But it is God's word to us. It is his revelation to mankind. And we should love to get into the word, to connect with him in the word. But there are a lot of other ways that we can connect with God. I believe the Bible is number one. But we can also connect with God in songs, poems, nature. If you like to go on hikes or just be in nature, that's a great way to connect with God. We can connect with God in prayer, meditation, listening to sermons. Whatever it is that helps you connect to Jesus, I would challenge you to try to fit more of that into your life. Because the more we are connected to him, the more fruitful we are. And let us be a fruitful church. because a fruitful church will be a healthy church, and a healthy church will be a church that succeeds at its mission to go and make disciples. Jesus wants his disciples in this passage to know that they are meant to be fruitful, that their life should bear the fruit of what it is they believe. Let us be a disciples that bear the fruit of what we believe. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you make it easy for us to be fruitful, that if we remain in you, if we stay connected to you as a true vine, that we are fruitful, God. Your word says that. It's a promise to us. Lord, I pray that if anyone is listening to this and they may have felt like their branch has withered away, maybe they feel like they've never been fruitful, God, I pray that you would help them connect to you so that their life may bear fruit, Lord. Help us to find ways to connect to you. Help us to find the little times that we could connect with you. It doesn't have to be this big thing where we have to get up at 4 a.m. and spend 2 hours reading your word. It can be something simple, maybe on our way to work. Instead of listening to the radio, we listen to your Bible. Maybe, you know, on our lunch break, we read a couple chapters of the Bible. Maybe we find times to pray or to get into worship, God. I just pray that you would help us find ways to connect to you. Help us to see you moving in our lives, Lord, and help us to go and make disciples. God, I thank you that we get to gather together next week. And Lord, I just pray that you be with us this week and bring everyone into this church healthy and safely. Lord, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.